Sairam, dear listeners. Last week on Thursday Live, we presented the second Q&A in the new series being broadcast by Professor Venkatraman on matters relating to Dharma. Today, we present the third Q&A program in that series of discussion amongst a studio panel which would discuss topics and questions arising out of Professor's first talk in the new series. And the panelists are Radio Sai's Bishu and Sri Aman Jhaveri, a research scholar from the Department of Management Studies from the Institute, and also Sri Lalit Advani, a devotee from Gujarat. So, over to Professor G. Venkatraman, who will be answering the questions posed by the panelists and also for his introductory remarks. So, over to you, sir. Sairam.
How can I speak when there are no questions? But I have a question.
Sure.
So, if you are having so many Q&A on one talk, when am I going to do the second talk? And remember, I am already 82.
that only shows how thought-provoking your talks are. Every time, you know, we read what you have written and then we try to understand.
Yeah, but then if you just inflict the listeners with Q&A, they will get provoked.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, let's get started.
Given the response of what we have received, I think definitely listeners are liking the Q&A approach because more interactive. So, and Aman has still so many of his questions left to be asked. So, go on, Aman.
Yes, thank you so much, sir. Again, it's been a very thought-provoking week listening to your answers. Just to have a quick recap for our listeners also.
Yes.
When Bishu and I first saw sir's talk, we had divided.
How do you see a talk? You listen to a talk.
We had seen the transcript. So, when we saw the transcript, we had divided the questions into three categories. One was God and Dharma, the other was society and Dharma, and the third was personal, individual and Dharma. And I think over the past two sessions, we have nearly covered God and Dharma and society and Dharma.
Yeah, in God and Dharma, we very clearly understood that you cannot really separate God from Dharma.
And in society and Dharma, sir did speak about how the society keeps changing, but the fundamental law remains the same. And sir gave the example of a pilot.
Yes.
Sir said, you know, when Dharma was probably written, there was no job description of a pilot.
Yes.
But even for a pilot, you have certain Dharma to be followed.
Yes.
And then we did talk about how we are going to go back to Dharma Vahini and, you know, try to map something out of it. One last section for which I thought we could ask sir some questions today was on the individual and Dharma. Over the course, sir has shed some light on that, but I request sir today to spend some more time on this because I felt this is the fulcrum, this is the most important thing because finally Dharma resides within each one of us. And if all of us are convinced about the utility of Dharma, then I think we would go a long way. So my question today is on individual and Dharma. And my question is this, sir. Why should I, an individual, follow Dharma? What is the utility of Dharma? Does Dharma promise me a wonderful afterlife, a great life in heaven, Vaikuntham, Swarga? Or does Dharma give me some rewards here itself? Are there any rewards in Dharma or there are no rewards? Should I keep on following Dharma without expecting any rewards of any sort?
Okay, first of all, let me greet listeners with a happy Diwali greeting. We call it Deepavali.
Yes.
Some people celebrated it yesterday. Today also it's being celebrated. And this evening people from Gujarat have come to celebrate it for 2 days. Because it is the season when they not only celebrate Diwali, but also celebrate the New Year.
Yes, yes, sir.
Now you said, Dharma is in me. And yet you are asking, why should I follow Dharma? What is the benefit? Fayda kya hai? What do I get out of it?
Because Gurucharan Das is telling it is very difficult.
Yes. Let him say anything. He is entitled. It's a free country. I am also going to say anything. But I will ask you one question. Swami kept on telling, I am in you. He is in us. Should we follow Swami or not? Or should we say, what do I get by following Swami? Swami is Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. When he takes a form, it is those abstract qualities that take a form. But without that body, he is also in us, in the abstract aspect. And the fact that he is in us makes us a spark of the divine. Therefore, it is our natural, what I should say, is obligation to manifest those latent divine quality. That latent qualities, divine qualities, must be made patent. This is what Swami used to say. Now, we also have a human form. Now, if you have a human form and still want to act like an ass, you are welcome to do so. It's a free country. More seriously, when you stage a play, each actor has been given a role. In the drama of the divine, we have been given the human form. Tiger has been given the tiger form. Snake has been given the snake form, and so on. Each has to play its role. And in the context of playing the role, seriously, Swami used to narrate a story. There was a very distinguished actor. He came to a royal court, and the king said, stage a play. And he staged a play in which he assumed the role of a sannyasi. There are other side actors. At the end of the play, the king began to distribute rewards. He called him first, this actor who did a fantastic job, gave him a big bag of coins or whatever. He said, no. He said, why? Well, that is my dharma. And the king was surprised. He thought he did three shows. Said, God bless you, etc., etc., and distributed to others. Next day, he played some other role, that of a humorist, Vidushakan. And the king gave Sanmanam to all the others, but he didn't give to this man. He went and asked, why didn't you give me? He said, yesterday you didn't take it, and today you are demanding. He said, that was the role of a sannyasi. He doesn't do work for money. Today, I am playing the role of a clown or a humorist. And humorist earns money by giving shows.
Yes. Right.
So you have to play the role. And in other words, as Pope Benedict said, now former Pope, you must first show your humanness before you are entitled to be called a human. Therefore, it is my duty to follow dharma. Other questions come later.
I don't ask what will I get out of it. I don't ask what's in it for me. I do it because that is what is supposed to be my nature.
That is true, but God does not say don't ask. You are entitled to ask. Swami has made it very clear. If you have done honest work, you are entitled to ask. You are entitled to receive the reward. But in that process, you miss something. You have actually two options. One is to take the salary, another is not to take the salary. Of course, that is sometimes difficult. You take the salary in the name of God. But in other words, you don't work for a salary. You do it because of your duty.
Right. Sir, often...
I hope at least this part of it is clear.
Yes, sir, it is clear. But there is a genuine problem here, sir, when you talk about this distinction between accepting a salary or not. You know, many times we have seen when we ask even our alumni, what makes you follow righteousness? Mm-hmm. And they always, invariably, they tell us that, you know, Swami has told us that following dharma will bring us good. Eventually, dharma is going to win.
Yes.
And, you know, if we follow dharma today, we may face some problems in the short term, but long term, we are going to
exactly.
gain. Mm-hmm. And isn't this also a kind of salary seeking, if I may call it? Because then we are always looking at some kind of benefit that's going to accrue in the future.
See, there is one thing that you must understand. Life is not a question of black and white. Similarly, when devotees come to Swami, they are in so many grades, spiritually. Some are spiritually in the pre-kindergarten, some are in KG, some are in post-doctoral level, some are at still higher level. So whatever answer he gives will be related to the person. In whatever way you approach me, I approach you in the same way, says Lord Krishna in the Gita. And there is a song of Anumacharya also echoing that. I don't remember it, but it's a famous song.
Anta matramuna.
That's yes. Right. Yeah. But the point is, he says that because that's all you can understand. If a patient goes to a doctor, if he's a villager, doctor will say, see, you take this like this, you don't eat these things. If it's what you call a very well-educated man goes, if you take this, this will control your blood pressure, take this, this will control your sugar must be in this level, and so on. What does he do? He gives you explanations and reasons so that you get convinced and follow the instructions. Therefore, when you ask a question, you must also keep in mind that the response is related to the level of the person receiving the answer. Now, if you ask the question again, because I have lost it, I can try to give what I call the objective highest level answer.
Yes. Now, you are saying that it's very difficult in the real world for people to not expect anything and when they are engaging in any activity.
Correct. That's why Krishna says there is no harm in asking for salary. There is no harm. If they give you salary, you take it. You want to work for salary? No problem. That's all.
But sir, you just mentioned
then
that
of course, now consider that. Then why all this were not wanting salary and all?
Yeah, that's
see, that is because it goes to the entire what you call the story of human life on earth, the jivatma. Strictly speaking, the jivatma's job is to journey towards God. That journey towards God is a very long journey. And there are many interruptions. By that it means there is a death and rebirth. So that is like overnight halt. When you go by train, you get down at night, take rest, next day you catch the train. Or bullock cart, this is what people used to do. They will stop. If you wanted to go, say, from some place to, say, Kanyakumari to Tirupati, they will go by bullock cart, stop, visit the temples 2 days, then go like that. So like that, the jivatma goes through to Paramatma through many bodies, but carrying the same mind. And at each level, you get some new lessons. First, likewise in this process, you progress through the various gunas. You start at the bottom, tamaguna, then you go to rajaguna, then you go to sattvaguna. So at the level of sattvaguna, honest reward is accepted. Many people do pujas, etc., and I say I want to go to heaven. I've seen people say that.
Yes.
I will do all this, I'll go to swargam. In the Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, there is nothing wrong in that. You worship the devas and you go to Devalokam. But one day your credit will be exhausted. Then Indra will say, go back. You can keep doing that. I have no problem with that. But why don't you come to me? To come to me, you have to break all bandham. Bandhavimochanam. So otherwise, gunas represent the play of prakriti. And prakriti, like the mother who spoils children, will hug you.
Yes, sir.
At some point, if you want to be really free, then break free and come to me. And there, you know, reaching the state of desirelessness, that desire is desire related to attachment, born of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsari, etc. That they chain you. Don't desire anything except me. That is not a desire. That is a yearning. That is an ache. That's a hunger.
Yes.
Develop that. And you don't need salary. You know, what are you going to do with your
salary? Whatever you need will come to you automatically.
You want to go to Hawaii and have a vacation? That vacation will be over the day your reservation at the hotel is over and you have a return ticket, you have to come back to your grinding mill, treadmill.
Yes. Yes.
So once you become one with me, you and I are no different. And I am always in bliss. You will also be in bliss, free of charge. In fact, there will be no you, no me, there will be only I. That is already in you. You have to remove the cover and the shrouds.
Mr. Lalit Advani is here. He is a businessman from Gujarat. And I think you probably must have experienced the difficulty of being good doing business. But before I ask, allow him to ask a question, I just want to share with you, sir, what Gurcharan Das says towards the end of this prelude, you know, after reading the Mahabharata, he says, this is his conclusion, and I want to know what are your views on this. He says, the Mahabharata is suspicious of ideology. It rejects the idealistic, pacifist position of Yudhishthira, as well as Duryodhana's amoral view. Its own position veers towards the pragmatic, evolutionary principle of reciprocal altruism. Basically, adopt a friendly face to the world, but do not allow yourself to be exploited. Turning the other cheek sends a wrong signal to cheats.
You're asking me.
I'm asking you your views on this conclusion.
You introduced him and you're going to be...
No, I'm just giving him time to ask the question. He can think about the question he's going to ask.
You're making it difficult for me. Come up with a nasty question. Okay. Let me remind you that Mr. Gurcharan Das is seeking a framework of ethics, which using which one can define a code of conducts. Mm. Pragmatism for him refers to day-to-day life. In day-to-day life, we are largely bound by the senses. Very rarely do we go beyond the senses. You can say, oh, I have to do tapas and all that. Not necessarily. When you have to check whether something is right or wrong, you must consult your conscience.
Yes.
We hardly ever consult our conscience. Maybe once in 10 years or something like that. People even forget. It's a telephone that is hardly used. Under the circumstances, he is trying to find a set of rules which he thinks are embedded in the Mahabharata. And he says, what does he say? Read that again.
He says that Mahabharata is suspicious of ideology.
Did Mahabharata tell him? No, but that is his perception.
That is his perception. Hmm. And it says it rejects the idealistic, pacifist position of Yudhishthira as well as Duryodhana's amoral view. So he's neither agreeing with Yudhishthira nor with Duryodhana. And it says, the Mahabharata's position veers towards the pragmatic evolutionary principle of reciprocal altruism. And that is, adopt a friendly face to the world, but do not allow yourself to be exploited. So he says that turning the other cheek sends a wrong signal to cheats. I mean, Gandhiji told us, yeah, you can show your other cheek.
See, the whole point is, if you read the sentences carefully and between the lines,
yes.
You, I, all these words are used. They refer to the deluded Jivatma. Duryodhana was a deluded Jivatma. Yudhishthira was a confused Jivatma. That is just as bad, because ultimately you make mistakes. Mistakes with reference to what?
Yudhishthira, maybe in some instances he was confused. Like, because Yudhishthira, we adore him as the...
Whatever it is,
yes.
He was confused.
Yes.
And that was a terrible confusion with the disastrous consequences.
The gamble especially.
Especially, that's right.
Yes.
And that is a fundamental failing.
Yes.
Just because he was Yudhishthira, see, you might have scored 99 runs, but in the next ball you're out, that's it. Okay?
Yes.
For a century, nahi milta hai. And even small mistakes can be costly.
Yes.
See, you driving, you take your eyes off the road for a second, that may be, you may end up with your loss of your life.
Yes.
So we have to be very careful. The point is, both Duryodhana and Yudhishthira understood what Dharma was. Because they had been taught the scriptures and all that.
Yes, correct.
And towards the end, Duryodhana confessed, I know what Dharma is.
Yes.
But I cannot avoid being adharmic. It is an addiction.
Oh God.
Yes. Addiction. I cannot give it up. It's like, you know, man who has been a drunkard all his life, he's now got cirrhosis of the liver, he knows he's going to die. He says, I know this is bad for me, but I have to drink because it is an addiction. It becomes an addiction. Yudhishthira was not addicted. But he was, I would say, Sattvic A++. Such good rating, he should not have failed.
Yes.
The bank, you know, they say, during Wall Street collapse, so many investment banks are A++, but they have collapsed.
Lehman Brothers.
Yes. Nobody knew.
Yes.
That they had a fatal fault. His fatal fault was, he did not use his buddhi. Buddhi is there in us, And buddhi is the line that connects the mind to the atma. Yes. And allows you to, this is schematic,
yes. Yes. Yeah.
Allows you to listen to the voice of conscience. When that telephone line is never used and is gone out of order,
yes,
then you are in trouble.
Even for a person like Yudhishthira, who at a crucial point in time failed, I mean, it only shows to us how much more careful we have to be.
No, I am just completing it. The question of drawing lessons from Mahabharata, he is trying to draw those lessons from the characters.
Yes.
The characters, both Duryodhana and Yudhishthira, were conscious of what dharma is, although it doesn't come out from their word or mouth.
Yes.
They both knew what dharma is, because dharma is what is defined in the scriptures.
Yes.
That awareness is there, and that the Mahabharata reveals to us.
Yes.
But if you just take their actions, that are their gunas, with their feelings, a sattvic man may temporarily become,
yes,
tamasic. He may momentarily get very angry.
Yes.
And likewise, a tamasic man may momentarily become very gracious, kind, compassionate. If a child is there, he will give it a toffee or something, chocolate.
Yes.
It's not in his nature.
Yes.
Both are possible.
Yes.
Those are fluctuations.
Yes.
But if you just stay with their actions as portrayed in the drama, you will get very limited lessons where you talk of I, you. These are all diluted, clouded jivatmas.
Hmm.
And you cannot try to define dharma on that basis. Supposing, for example, a foreigner comes. No, not now. Today it's quite different. Let us say in 1940.
Okay.
I was that time 8 years old. India was mostly rural. As Gandhiji said, India lived in the villages. Even Swami used to say that.
Correct.
And in villages, there was a lot of poverty and ignorance, which continued for many years and still continues.
Yes.
Then the people, foreigners said, India is dirty, full of poor people, illiterate, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, at the same time, if you had gone to some college, like Presidency College in Madras or Calcutta, so on, you would have found students who are studying physics, chemistry, mathematics, and so on. So, if you go somewhere and you say people are illiterate, and there was a lady called Miss Mayo, and she wrote a book which became very notorious. Gandhi described her as a gutter inspector.
Yes. Yeah, gutter inspector.
Because she found only bad things to say about India. So, you cannot judge from that what is the nature of dharma. If you just look at the characters and the dialogue and the incidents, they will show all the human weaknesses.
Yes.
If you ask me to defend dharma by going to a railway station or whatever it is, I'll find people are corrupt, they're cheating, there's cheating, spitting all over the place, etc., etc. But that is not their nature.
Yes.
Swami used to say, you are Amutasya Putra.
Yes. Yes.
Do we exhibit that? So yes. Can I, after looking at this, and say, no, nobody is immortal, I see every fellow dying. Mm. The only thing is, some die of drinking, some die of car accidents, some die, live well and die at a ripe old age, surrounded by their sons and daughters, and all that. I cannot fathom the secrets of life just by looking at people. I need some background information.
Yes.
According to me, the background information was given in the Mahabharata by Lord Krishna while teaching the Gita.
Yes.
This author, unfortunately, keeps the Gita outside. Therefore, the missing texture has led him to arrive at certain conclusions.
Mm.
I say, to arrive at the correct conclusions, you must take that also into account. So all the time, I am looking at the Mahabharata through the lens of the Gita. He doesn't want to do that. So he will arrive at those conclusions. It is but natural. Anybody will do that.
Mm.
As far as I am concerned, dharma cannot be defined this way. If you look through this, you will get this conclusion. I'll give you a very simple example. I don't know how many of you have used the binoculars.
Yeah.
So there is a way of looking at it. If you turn the binoculars and look at it the other way, everything will look very far instead of being very good.
Yes, sir.
So we have a prism. His prism is below the senses, my prism is above the senses. Sorry, I took a long...
No, I think he can sharpen his question.
Yes,
I leave the floor to Mr. Lalit Advani.
See, at the outset, I am very happy to be here on this auspicious day, and especially to be in front of Professor G.V. So, sir, my question to you is, in the practical world of business, we have examples in which when we have to get some work done from a business, from a government department, we sometimes have to pay something extra, a bit of extra money. And there are a couple of companies which says that we don't do these kind of dealings. So we will ask a consultant to give us a bill which includes everything. And as a result, we avoid giving a bribe. And they say we are following dharma this way. So what is your take on this, sir?
This is an actual practical
question. Okay. I will ask you a counter question. Okay. Let us say there is a rich man who is also crooked, who is rajasic and also ruthless. There is somebody who is giving him a lot of trouble. He doesn't like him. He wants to get rid of him. He gives a fellow, calls a fellow and gives him a contract. I think in Bombay it's called Supari.
That's right.
I shouldn't be using such words. And that fellow kills him. And he goes to jail. Sentenced to life or something. And this fellow quietly sends some money to the family. Is he absolved of guilt?
No.
So, this gentleman who tries to close his eyes, he is trying to hide from the truth. His conscience knows. Mm. The law may not know.
Right.
So there's a difference between law and conscience. At the end of the day, to thine own self be true. That is the advice given by Polonius to Hamlet. He gives a lot of that. Polonius' advice to Hamlet is very famous.
Yes.
Not Hamlet, his son, Lazarus, Laurentio, I forgot his name, son. To many lend thy ear, but few thy voice, and so on. And say, above all, to thine own self be true. True to whom? True to thyself, that is your conscience. Now, we must try to obey the conscience. And in order to obey the conscience, first you must ask the conscience, can I do this? What is this conscience? I don't understand it. I'll put it very simply. For us, conscience means Swami. Close your eyes and think of Swami. Swami, if I did this, would you like it? That's a very simple question. And you can answer it honestly if you want to.
Yes.
And if he says, Swami says, do you think I would like you to do these things? Is this how you want to behave? And you think you will please me by doing such things, bringing money and giving to me? I know what that money is. I won't accept it. When that answer comes to you back, then you will say, I won't do it. Okay, you will lose. Three times you lose, Swami will come back. I will make up for it. Why? Because he is Dharma. You have stood by Dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshitaha. He has said that. If we have the faith, then we can get out of it. A lot of people have stuck to that. They will be tried. It is not easy to pass the ICS exam. But if you make the effort, you can do it. Till 1954 or 53, I don't remember, nobody had climbed the Everest. Finally, one day, two people did it. Now thousands have done it.
Yes.
So, the third fellow said, if those two fellows go, why can't I go? Then one fellow said, 499 I'm gone, let me be the 500.
Yes.
Like that it goes. All sorts of things. So it is a determination. And say,
What is all right, if I don't fail in business, so what? I should not fail before you. Which is important? Failing Swami or failing in life? If we may, that choice is available to us. What Swami, ultimately you give everything. It is not the world that is giving me. If I have that faith, you will go through.
Can I share something?
Sure.
With you, that the first time I came to Puttaparthi, I picked up one of Swami's codes of conduct.
When was that?
In the year 2000.
Right on.
2001, I'm sorry. Yeah. So okay. There is one rule is don't give a bribe and don't take a bribe. Mm-hmm. And I used to be in the passport business, actually. And I used to do the opposite of what was written. And I thought a lot about it, and probably a week after I reached my home in Ahmedabad, I decided to give up this bribe giving business. So after a week or so, I stopped giving bribes. Mm-hmm. And a month after that, my business of passports shut down. Mm-hmm. As a consequence, I was forced to do another business, which is immigration visa business. Mm-hmm. And as a result, my income went up tenfold.
Oh, wow.
So, this is actually just what Professor said. So, you know, I just wanted to convey to him.
Wow.
This is a real life. I think just, you know, what really happened.
Just like Sir was saying now, see, once 500 people climb the Mount Everest, then it encourages so many more people to do that. And similarly, you know, listening to you, I think it will definitely embody.
I will mention a small incident like this. Professor Vishwanath Pandit, who was our 8th Vice Chancellor, I think, we all know him very well. He has been teaching here for more than 15, 20 years. And he once went to America for some time. And then when he came back, he had some tax problems. If you stay for a certain period, you pay tax there. If it is less than that, you have to pay tax here. There was a borderline case. Mm-hmm. And it was made very difficult for him by the income tax fellow. Then the word was sent, look, you pay so much, everything will be done. He refused to. So then they gave him the ring run around. So come tomorrow, this file has gone to that man. He patiently came, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And when he comes, they'll say, that fellow, aaj chutti mein hai, he has gone on leave. All sorts of file has gone to this man. Standard thing, they harass you. He kept on coming. Then there was one cabin, one man was looking at this. His face became very familiar. So he sent for him. What's your name? And he said, I am so and so. You are a professor in Delhi University, you should be coming here. He said, no, what to do, I have no one else in the... Then, what is the problem? He explained the problem. He said, this is a very simple problem. I don't know about it, but this is what is happening. All right, give me this thing. He calls somebody, what is the file number and all? Go and get the file. He says, you day after tomorrow, your check will be sent. You don't even have to come here. He went there. He said, I told you not to come. Anyway, you have come. Here is your check. That means
sometimes
you will be tested a lot.
Yes. Sometimes you might
Typically, in our tradition, Lord Shiva takes the job personally and it tests a lot. Lord Vishnu will come for a short time and he will grant your wishes and go away. This Shiva is not like that. He will not outsource the job of looking after you. He will personally test heavily and then he will grant you. If you read the Shiva Puranas, all those stories are like that. He'll give hell and rescue in the last.
In the end, it is very glorious.
Huh? Oh, very good. And Swami was like that.
Swami continues to be like that. But okay, time is running out. But I just want to ask one question which a listener has sent. Her name is Mrs. Priya Sujit. She's very thankful for what you mentioned about crows last time, you know.
About
the tradition
crows.
Offering something to crows. That has really helped her. Mm. And because she is doing some lesson on crows for her students and et cetera, et cetera. And
you know, there is to be a phrase called crow catching. It's from Tamil. Mm-hmm. In English, translated. Crow catching means bribing and getting favors. cultivating.
Anyway, but what you mentioned last time about this practice in Indian culture and Swami's insights about that, I think that was very enlightening. Her question now is about the question of right or wrong. I have heard that in spirituality there is no right or wrong. What does that mean?
This is googly. Spirituality is the spirit of the soul. Science of the spirit or science of the soul. To put it differently, it is Atmavidya. That is the English word, the Sanskrit word. Best translation for spirituality. Atmajnana, Atmavidya. What is Atmajnana? It is the wisdom that is needed for the Jivatma to become, get rid of its delusion and merge with Paramatma. There is a long road, do's and don'ts and all that. In that science, the deluded Jivatma must be told what is right and what is wrong. You say, what is the meaning of what is right and what is wrong? Right is that which takes you closer to God.
Yes.
Wrong is that takes you farther away from God. So in that sense, there will be do's and don'ts, to put it very crudely. But if you want to look at it another way, which is what I would call an enlightened way, Atmavidya is a moral GPS. You keep following that, you can go straight to God. If you lose that, you have problems. Supposing I go into the forest. Forest has all sorts of things. I'm a city dweller, I don't know a damn thing about the forest. I go and look at some nice flower or some other leaf and touch it, and it may start scratching me. I'll get an itching sensation. There is a nice berry. It looks nice. I try to eat it. It may be poisonous. Whereas, if a tribal goes, he will know what to avoid. He will know what is good, what is bad. He will know where there are footpaths.
Yes.
So that there are less thorns. He will know that a tiger is lurking there. So he must go against the wind. And not with the wind. There are all sorts of rules. With that knowledge, he is safe. So he knows the rules of survival and how not to get hurt. So in that sense, good and bad, right and wrong are there. But if you keep consulting your conscience, you will go beyond the senses. Once you have gone there, the road is very safe. Up to there, there is a thing called right. There is a thing called wrong. Now, this right and wrong exists only for humans.
Yes.
For example, when a tiger kills a man, you never say the tiger murdered the man. You simply say kills the man. When man kills a man, there are many categories.
Yes.
You say there is homicide. It's homicide done knowingly. It is homicide that was done unintentionally. You are driving fast and man came across the road.
But if a man kills a man in war, then it is glorious.
No, that is rules of war, according to that. So even Abhimanyu, they said, we are circum. We will not get into those difficulties because our time is up. So there is a thing called right and wrong for humans. And that it exists for humans because humans alone are on the path to God because of their consciousness. Otherwise, they have a higher level of consciousness.
Yes.
Tiger doesn't have the higher level of consciousness. Yes. Although, in a book, a short story by R.K. Narayan, there's a tiger that becomes very spiritual, tiger from Malmedy. And then he asks the tiger, what is your God like? The tiger says, my God is a huge super tiger with a tail that will go around the equator, with teeth so strong it will crunch rocks, and claws so big they will pluck out the planets and things like that. And laughs and says, God can take any form, and your God may even be there.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you very much. I know these issues, we can endlessly go on deliberating. And the more case studies you take, I think it's more interesting it becomes.
But we must go from case to practicing.
And I think today the discussion had a lot of practicality to it with Mr. Lalit Advani bringing his own experience in life. I think it has definitely sent a very strong signal.
I think the important point is, if you have faith that God will not let me down,
yes,
provided I am loyal to Him,
yes,
and stick to Dharma at whatever be the cost, you are sure to get out. It may be tough, but you will come out.
Absolutely. Wonderful. I think we will end with that powerful feeling, that powerful conviction that Dharmo Rakshati Rakshita. I think that is something that we have to believe in. And if you say we follow Swami, if you say we love Swami, then that is what we have to live in our lives. Thank you so much, Mr. Lalit Advani, for being here as a guest. And as always, thank you, sir, and Aman. And I will hand over now the mic to Sunil for the closing announcement.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, that brings to an end the third Q&A session on Professor G. Venkatraman's earlier talk in this new series related to Dharma. We hope you liked this session, and next week we would be continuing the present series. Please do not forget to tune in then, and we shall alert you in advance with web and radio announcements about what's coming up for the next week. So watch this space. We thank you for listening and request you to inform those of whom you know and are not aware of this series also to join in future. As usual, the podcast of this program may be accessed via our website www.radiosai.org. Dear listener, coming up next on Thursday Live is the segment Service, Love in Action. Thank you and Sai Ram. So please stay tuned. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, सुबह शाम गाएगी सदा सुबह शाम हर एक पल में हर एक क्षण में हर एक पल में हर एक क्षण में भजे हम सदा तेरो नाम भजे हम सदा तेरो नाम गाएगी सदा Yeah. सदा सुबह शाम गाएगी सदा सुबह शाम साई राम साई राम गाएगी सदा सुबह शाम हर एक पल में हर एक क्षण भजे हम सदा तेरो नाम गाएगी सदा सुबह शाम कोई कहे तुझे जान की रामा पुकारे राधे श्याम हमरे लिए तुम साई भगवान गाएगी सदा सुबह शाम गाएगी सदा सुबह शाम साई राम साई राम
जगत जननी शिव साई शंकरी
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 माता मही ईश्वरी पार्वती माता महेश्वरी पार्वती
माता
अभय प्रदायिनी गान
ಸಾಕಾರ